There is Jimmy Clitheroe as the Clitheroe Kid, with Peter Sinclair, Patricia Burke, Danny Ross, and Diana Day in...
The Day That the Funfair Hit Town. Good evening. This is Percy Throwback. This week we're in the grounds of that famous gardener, Greenfinger's Grandad Sinclair.
Oh, no. This morning it was Jimmy Savile.
First of all, the cabbage patch, where we can see this fine, healthy crop of dandelions. The cabbages we pulled up, they were so bad the slugs refused to eat them.
Oh, James, will you stop it?
And here is Mr. Sinclair's scarecrow. Oh, no, it's Mr. Brocklebank.
You're asking for trouble, my lad.
And here he is, Greenfinger's granddad himself. Tell me, Mr. Sinclair, is it true that the other evening you watered your plum tree with whiskey by mistake and got stewed prunes?
Oh, James. Oh, that's enough.
And could I ask you, Mr. Brocklebank, if you put fertilizer on your rhubarb?
Well, yes, I do.
Well, everybody to their own taste. We've... We put custard on ours.
Oh, don't talk, Billy.
Will you stop this nonsense? Find something to do and be quiet.
Oh, all right, Mum. What shall I do?
Look, James, I'll show you how to make a bunny rabbit with your hanky.
Oh, no. No, the excitement to give me nightmares.
Now. Now, look. I fold my hanky thus and thus. No, I'm wrong. I fold it like so, and so.
You fold that over there and this over here.
You old so-and-so.
With respect, Mr. Sinclair, I think you fold this over here and that over there.
It's that under here and this under there, you ninny.
Look, what does it matter which is over what?
It matters a lot, ma'am. If we don't do it properly, Bugs Bunny might end up with only one ear.
About it, me,
Alfie. And talking about one ear, we've got a right one ear.
I'm only passing, really, but I've got a message for Mr. Sinclair. For, Mr. Bicklebunk. Oh, you're making a mouse.
Your pardon, Alfred.
With your hanky. You made a mouse. Well, what's it doing with two tails?
Alfie, what's this message you've got for me?
It's from Mr. Whittle. I can see his nose and his neck. Not Mr. Whittle's, the mouse. But you've got his back end wrong. You should have folded this over here like that. Now, you see, it's got two noses. No, I'll start again.
Alfie's going to start again. Has everybody brought pyjamas?
Shut up, Jimmy. Alfie, this message from Mr. Whittle.
Yeah, well, that's what he told me to tell you. Well, not you, Mrs. Clitheroe. It's not a secret. It's just for Mr. Sinclair. You fold the hanky in two like this.
Will you tell me the message from Whittle, you fool?
I told him to say I was going to pay you a sociable call, Pete.
Yes, he told me to say. Oh, he has done. But not told me, though he did. That's why I called him, but I didn't. Well, I did call him, but I didn't say he was. I forgot, but now he's here, I needn't bother. Next you tie a knot, Mr. Bucklebelt.
Tie a knot where?
In Alfie's tongue, then perhaps he'll shut up.
And you shut up as well. Hello, Harry. You're quite a stranger. Nice to see you.
Oh, my own sentiments exactly, Pat. It has been some little time since I clasped eyes on you. But as they say in eastern climates, long time no shufti. Hello there, Hump.
Hello, Mr. Whittle.
Hey, what's that you doing in your hanky? Ah, you're making a bear, eh? What is it? Tawny puppet or a pie-eyed wagtail?
It's supposed to be a bunny rabbit, but Alfred says it's a mouse.
Balderdash, it's a bird. Look, there's its legs, and there's its beak. But it's got no tail. Look, I'll show you what to do if you'll allow me to remonstrate.
Oh, go ahead, Whack. Don't keep us in suspenders.
Now, Luke, you put this over here. No, I've made a Guy Fawkes pass. I'll start again. Hold the hanky in four. Put this over there and that over here. You tie a knot there.
So you've been away on another road building job, eh, Harry?
Oh, that's right, Pat. But the natives was very friendly and amenable, so I'm back home in one piece again.
Oh, have you been somewhere foreign then?
Oh, Birmingham.
Don't be funny.
Oh, Jim's like that. Dear old Birmingham. Or as the inhabitable Scarlet, Brummaging.
And you say when you got back to your flat, you couldn't park your car.
That's right. When I went to my usual parking place, there was nowhere to stick me to your folly.
Oh, dear. That was a tragical.
Be quiet. You still park your car on that spare land, Harry?
I've a lot today. A fun fair beat me to it. Yeah, you should see the place. You can't move for rubby horses and dodging cars. Talk about pandemonia.
But I passed there yesterday and there was no fun fair there.
Ah, well, they only moved in last night, Pete. The fair doesn't start till Saturday. They're still putting everything up with the help of several local young Juniviles. I was surprised you weren't there, Jim.
Why were the kids getting paid money, Harry?
Well, you could construct it that way, Pat. The lads who's doing the putting up gets free goes and all the rides and sideshows on Saturday afternoon.
What? And I didn't know about it. I'm slipping.
You are, Jim. Even I used to do that job when I was a lad, helping with the fair.
Well, thanks for your help, Alfred.
Oh, not at all, Mr. Whittlebonk. It'll go all right now, Clinger Plugs. What for?
Pardon, Alfred?
Mr. Sinclair mentioned it as we came in, or weren't we supposed to hear?
We were talking about kids helping to put the fun fair up.
Oh, I did that once when I was a kid. Never again. I put some poles up the wrong way, the whole tent collapsed on the boss and knocked his head in a coconut. It split open and all milk came out. No, not out of his head, the coconut, no. They had to stick a bandage on it. Not the coconut, his head. He gave it to me to get rid of me, and my mum ground it up for cakes. The coconut, not his head.
But you still drink your tea out of a cup?
Oh, yes, I never drink it any other way. So, but what's drinking tea got to do with a fair?
I've no idea. It's your story.
How about you, I bet you've had some unforgettable moments at the fair in your younger days.
Yeah, well, all this does take me back to a wonderful day on the fairground. I drove the little engine and I blew the little whistle. Boom, boom, it went. And then I sat on the little fire engine and I rang the little bell. Tingling, tingling.
How old were you at the time,
35.
When you see Mr. Higginbottom in the pub, tell him to keep that son of his in order. I won't have him fighting with Jimmy like this.
Quite right, Mum.
All right, Pat. But you're not telling me it was all Ozzy's fault. Takes two to start a fight.
I know. Charlie Thompson hit me as well.
It was 2-1, then?
3, Mum. Specky Barraclough had a go at me as well. Mind you, I soon fixed him.
Oh.
I pinched his glasses. It was funny. I pointed to Ozzy, and in Ozzy's dopey voice, I said to Specky, "There's Jimmy Clitheroe, thumping one."
No wonder there was a fight. Well, that settles one thing. You don't go with a gang to that fairground again.
I won't, Grandad. I'll go on my own. And if I see him, I'll just keep me distance and wave me fist.
You won't, you know.
No, perhaps it'd be wrong to wave. I'll just ignore him.
I mean, you won't go to that fairground without an adult. I'm not having you coming home in this state again.
Right, Mum. Grandad, I'll meet you inside the Bearded Lady's caravan 2:00. You knock 3 times and ask for whiskers.
That'll do now. Your mother and I are going to Aunt Lily's tomorrow afternoon to help her get settled in a new house.
But the free pass is only for tomorrow afternoon.
Now, you heard what I said. You don't go on that fairground unless you're with an adult. Somebody we know that we can trust.
Oh, heck. Who could take me? I know. The vicar. I mean, he's sure to be free. He only works Sundays.
Well, look. When you find somebody to take you and to the fair, come and tell us who it is.
Yes, Grandad. Now, who could I get to take me? Well, I could always ask me daft sister. Yeah, I'll wash this dirt off me and then go and find her. And then I'll turn on the... Could I have a word with you, Miss Welsh? If I'm not disturbing you, Miss Welsh.
What do you mean, Miss Welsh?
You are Raquel Welsh, aren't you?
No, you may be surprised to know my name is Susan Clitheroe.
Oh, you've changed it, have you? Well, you're still just as lovely.
And you're just as cheeky. Get out of my room.
Now, don't be like that, Susan. I want us to be friends.
Really? Now, that's a nice sort of a thing that makes a girl's day for her, when a little menace wants to be friends with her.
But I'm not just any little menace. I'm your brother. I mean, if I've ever been naughty or caused you trouble, I'd like to say I'm sorry and shake you by the throat. And...
You nearly slipped up there, didn't you, brother dear?
Listen, Susan, I want us to be pals. And to prove it, I'd like to take you out tomorrow afternoon.
Oh, where to?
Well, you'll have a marvelous time. Oh, and there'll be dozens of men there just dying to meet you.
At the fairground?
Yeah, there's Mr. Atlas, the strongest man in the world. You'll be all right there when he gets you in a clinch. Fairground?
That's where you want me to go with you, isn't it?
Well, yes, I thought you'd enjoy it. It's all free. Well, it is for me. And I'm sure there'll be plenty of mugs. And men who'll pay for you.
Oh, I'm sure I'd have a marvellous time.
Yeah, I can just see you now sliding down the helter-skelter in your hot pants. Don't slide too fast, though, or your hot pants might catch fire.
I'm going to Auntie Lily's tomorrow afternoon with Mother and Granddad.
I could take you on the ghost train. That would be fun.
I've told you I'm going to Auntie's tomorrow. And if I wasn't, I wouldn't want to go to the fairground with you. Now, clear off.
Listen, Scrag, sister dear, how did you know it was the fairground?
Because I was listening to the row you had with Mother and Granddad just now at the top of the stairs.
You nosy porker.
I know. I take you after my brother.
Listen, be careful what you say, or you might not get to the fairground. I could change my mind, you know.
I'll change it for you. Clear out.
I'm not joking, you know. If you don't watch what you're saying, you've had the fairground.
Oh, that would be a tragedy. All those wonderful men I'd missed. Who are they again?
Well, there's Daff Willie on the rifle range. He's been crazy about you ever since he pinned your photo up on his stall for the customers to shoot at.
Oh, do I take it from that remark that I'm not lovely anymore?
You can take it any way you like. I was mad to say you could go in the ghost train with me. With your face, you'd scare all the ghosts away.
Oh, that does it. Go on, get out. Get out of my room. Go on.
Oh, come on, come on. Where are you, Pete? Can't take him all this long to get his hair cut.
No, especially Mr. Sinclair being a Scotsman. Jimmy says he has his hair done at a special cheap rate, half price with a blow lamp.
Fortunately, I do not have this problem. My sister does my hair for me.
Now, does she, Holmes? I thought that looked like a shampoo and set.
Yeah. Most amusing, Whittle. Save your jokes for the staff of the Rose and Crown.
Yeah, if I ever get down there tonight, it's turned 7 o'clock now. You know what the Latins say? Tempers fidget.
I say so. Is that on Friday night? Last Friday, I had to go for a haircut, get me mum's groceries and pick up Susan from work.
What happened, Alfred?
Well, I went to the barber's first because I thought if there was a queue, I could ring Susan from the barber's and ask her to get the groceries and she could ring me back at the barber's if there was any trouble. So I could ring the groceries from the barber's to sort it out and then ring Susan from the barber's to tell her what I'd done.
And was there any trouble?
Yeah, the barber's not on the phone. I had to go back home and ring. That's why Susan said I had to wait here for her tonight till she gets home from work, you fool. She said.
Well, I shall be glad when Mrs. Clitheroe returns from the shop. I have some women's guild business to discuss with her.
Women's guild? Are you sure that's not a shampoo and set?
My mum was right.
Oh, hello, James. What do you mean?
I saw her in the butcher's, and she said she left 3 fine, handsome men in the house. Now, I've worked it out on my way home. You each do a 2-hour shift. Mr. Whittle, 2 o'clock till 4, swings and roundabouts.
What, Jim?
Alfie Hall, 4 o'clock till 6, sideshows and the boxing booth. Oh, bring a spare vest and some shorts.
What the heck are you talking about?
Mr. Brocklebank, 6 o'clock till 8. Slot machines, emptying the baby's bottles, trying your strength, and ring the bell. And the mobile fish and chip shop.
James, will you kindly explain all this?
I've just seen my pal Ozzy in the street, and he was gloating because the gang's going to the fair tomorrow, and I can only go with a grown-up. So I said, I'll show you, Barrel Tum. I'll be there with 3 grown-ups.
Hey, now, wait a minute, Jim. I don't want to throw cold water on your aspersions. But I'll be busy tomorrow. I've just come back from the Midlands. I've got a million things to do.
Oh, well, that'll mean 3-hour shifts, you two. I'll feed 2 o'clock till 5 now.
No, but I promised me Mum I'll do some painting for her tomorrow afternoon. So sorry, Jimmy.
Oh, well, Mr. Brocklebank, 6 hours isn't all that long when you're having fun.
James, it is out of the question. There's a Wagner opera on the radio tomorrow afternoon, the Meister Singers of Nuremberg, and I don't want to miss it.
You don't have to. Borrow a transistor and hear it on the fairgrounds.
Don't be silly, James.
Well, come on. Who's taking me? Mr. Whittle? Mr. Brocklebank? Alfie, old friend. So none of you want to take me, eh? Right. I'll go on my own, see? Yeah, see?
But you can't go on your own. You'll be in trouble. Your granddad will give you a belt. No, not give you one, thump you one.
I don't care. I'd sooner be thumped than be kicked out of the Black Hand gang for being chicken.
Now, James, that's silly.
Don't talk to me, you. In fact, I don't want to talk to any of you. And when I do get belted, don't try getting round me with sympathy. It'll take money. Well, what a liberty. None of the Black Hand gang in sight. I risk a belting to come to the fairground, and I can't even frighten Ozzy in the ghost train.
Oh, hello there, James. I've found you at last.
Mr. Brocklebank, what are you doing here? I thought you were at home, booting in the culture.
Pardon?
The opera. Listening to some old fat old woman singing. My tiny Moses frozen. Because I jam. It in the fridge.
Oh, really, James? My sister is taking the opera down on her tape recorder because I decided to come with you after all to save you from a thrashing.
You're a pal, Mr. Brocklebank. And you won't be sorry. We'll have a smashing time. We'll go on the Caterpillar, the Moon Rocket, the Big Dipper.
No, James. I'm afraid I couldn't go on those. My stomach turned over the last time I went on the Helter Skelter.
Well, do you think you could stand an exciting trip round the fairy grotto?
Hello there, Jim, you young scallywaggle.
Hello, Mr. Whittle.
You're here in Harlem. I thought you were in the orchestra alone, reviling yourself with a few operatical areas.
Oh, no, his sister's bunging it down on their tape recorder, Whittle.
Hello, Whittle. It would appear we both changed our minds to help James.
Yes, well, I thought we'd all be in a bit self-indulgent, you know. Letting Jim get into bother because none of us would give him our accompaniment.
Yeah, quite. That's what I thought, more or less.
Well, you're both great, and the three of us can have a smashing time now.
Ah, we can that, Jim. I love throwing the wooden balls at the coconuts. Oh, the crazy home where the funny heads keep popping up and down.
Oh, there you are, Jimmy.
Well, you can start throwing. Here's one of the funny heads now.
I've looked all over the fairground for you, Mr. Bucklebank. Bunk. Not look for you, Mr. Bricklebunk, for him. Mr. Whittle has as well. Not look for Mr. Whittle as well. I mean, he's here as well. You're all here.
So are you. But you're not all there.
Yeah, well, I am now. You're not there, are you? I've come to mind you. And Mr. Whittle. And Mr. Brocklebank as well. Not me come to mind them. They've come...
To mind you?
Yes. No. you fool.
Oh, I've come to mind you.
Yeah, of course, because I... No, me, you.
You, not me. Me? Me. Him, cousin. You...
Cheetah! Oh, shut up.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear me.
Here, drink this water, Holmes.
Oh, thank you. Oh, what an experience. I thought I was going to die.
Oh, well, it was all that up and down that did it.
What, did you take him on the Big Dipper?
No, I took him on the hobby horses.
What have you got there, James?
Oh, it's a prize. Alfie won for me on the hoopla stall. A company bag of jelly babies.
Yes, I kept trying, but in the end I got the knack. The hoop dropped right over the jelly baby.
Well, that was clever of you, Alfred.
Yeah, a company bag of jelly babies he won. And it only cost him 75 new pence. You daft looking twit. Why didn't you give me the money? Mr. Whittle, can you come quick? Alfie's having a row with the man at the stall.
Alfie having a row? Losing his temper? I didn't think anything could make Alfie get his dandy up. Where is the fricassee?
It's the stall where the man sits on a seat over the water, and if you hit the bullseye, he drops in. Over here, come on.
Right, lead on, Plum Duff, as Shakespeare said.
It's a blooming twist. I see fur and square in his eye. The bull, I mean, and he didn't drop in. The man, not the bull.
Now, look, mate, will you belt up? I've given you a prize, right? You've got a teddy bear, ain't I? Now, what more do you want?
He wants a dolly that says, Mama.
That's right. No, he said, say, shut up. I just want a teddy bear, but I want him to fall in the water.
Why, what's the teddy bear done to you?
Nothing. See, I didn't mean this. I mean him, the man.
What's up, Alfie?
Oh, hello, Mr. Whittle. It's him. I hit it, but he didn't go down, and he says it's working properly. But if it is, then why didn't he go down? Not him, he said it. Him over there who didn't. Follow me. No, not said it.
Now, look, mister. Now, look, if this bloke's a friend of yours, do you mind taking him away back to his padded cell?
Well, don't you start insulating, my friend.
Look, I'm not doing anything. I'm just trying to run a stall. But it's stupid. Look, this friend of yours is causing trouble. He's ruining my business. I admit he hit the bull, but the spring on the seat must have jammed so Charlie didn't fall in.
Exactly. And he should have done. So tell him to jump.
Look. Now, look. I don't understand why you're complaining. I've given you the prize you wanted, the teddy bear.
But he hasn't got his doll.
Well, all right, he can have a doll as well and a dummy if he wants it.
I don't want a doll, just a teddy bear. Well, I don't want a teddy, but, well, I do, but I don't, but Susan does. Well, she will do when she knows I've got it, but I want the man. I not want him to fall, I mean, not the teddy bear.
Well, that seems clear enough, mister.
So what's he mean?
He hit the bull in the eye, so the man should have thrown the teddy bear in the water to save the bull for Susan.
What are you not doing here, eh? Have you escaped from a zoo?
Now, just watch it there. Don't you go casting nasturtions on my parentals.
Oh, you're driving me up the wall, you are. All of you. Now, look, just clear off, or me and Charlie will drop you all in the water. Hey, Charlie, come here. Go on, get lost.
Don't push me.
Oh, what? We'll push your faces in if you don't blow, mate.
Right, you've asked for it. Get your jocks up. Oh, you and Charlie going to Waterloo. Yeah, I'll desecrate the plan of you.
That's right, Wagger. Take him apart to see what makes him tickle.
I don't care whether you hit the bullseye or not. What concerns me is you hit the two men who work for me on the stall, Bob and Charlie. And now I've got no one to look after my business.
Ah, didn't you tell Mr. Whittle did?
Well, where is he?
He's gone to the first aid post to get some plaster on his knuckles. Bob and Charlie kept hitting his fist with their chins.
Don't be funny.
Yes, quiet, James. I can't believe this, sir. Now, is it true, Alfred? Mr. Whittle indulged in a brawl?
Well, I don't know about that, but he had a fight. That's what you mean. Yes, he did.
He was terrific, Mr. Brocklebank. He bashed the two of them all on his own.
Yeah, but yes, well, I was going to help him, but I was on the ground. Yes. Well, I wasn't at first, but I was when the fight started. You're not lying on it, fell on it. I was running to join in and I tripped over something.
Yeah, it was his mouth.
Look, what about this Whittle character?
Well, I can only say that it really surprises me.
It was a bit of a shock for Bob and Charlie. Of course, Mr. Whittle used to box in the army, you know.
Did he?
Oh, yeah. He was the Muddleweight champion of Fazakerly Dockers Light Infantile Regiment.
Look, never mind all this rubbish. There's nobody at my stall and I'm losing money and somebody's going to pay for it.
Just a minute. How much did you pay Bob and Charlie?
£1 an hour each. Why?
Well, don't worry about your thing then. Just get your wallet out and leave the rest to me and my merry men.
There he is, Pat, over there. Jimmy. Hey, Jimmy, come here.
So, Mr. Higginbottom was right. He did come after all.
Ah, the young villain.
Hello, Mum. Hello, Grandad. Hey, you're just in time to come with me on the big wheel. Mind, you'll have to hold your skirt down. Especially you, Grandad. Your kilt, I mean.
You're a cheeky young scamp.
He's trying to play the innocent, Father.
I know. He's barefaced.
Of course I am. Did you expect me to have grown a beard since this morning?
Don't be so cheeky.
I hope you've enjoyed yourself here, my lad.
Oh, I have.
Aye, well, you'll pay for it when you get home.
But it's all for it. Wait a minute, what's up?
We told you that you couldn't come here without a grown-up.
But you defied us. Here you are, on your own. Just as Higginbottom said you would be.
Oh, so old foghorn friend opened his Mersey tunnel, did he? I suppose Fat Ozzy told him. Well, wait till I see Blabbermouth. I'll take a penalty with his head.
You won't be able to move when I've finished with you.
You won't hit me when you see me friends.
You're begging for it.
I'll put you across my knee and your friends as well.
Well, you'll need a big knee, especially for Mr. Whittle.
Mr. Whittle?
Yes, and Mr. Brocklebank and Alfie. They're all here with me. Come on, over here. I'll show you.
But, you mean you came with them?
Oh, well, they're with me, yes. So you better put Ozzy across your knee. Or better still, let Shovel Hands Higginbottom do it himself.
But why did the three of them come here?
They work here. At least they are doing today. Look, there they are. Come on.
Come along, folks. Come along. 3 balls for 5 pence.
Try your luck. Try your luck. All the fun of the fair. Hit the bullseye and drop the man in the water.
It's easy, folks. Only a tap needed. All the family can do it. Ladies, gents, or junifiles. Try your luck, madam. Oh, heck, it's you, Pete. I'm sorry about that. Hello, Pat.
Hello, Mr. Whittle.
Well, are you satisfied?
Here you are, sir. 6 balls, that is 10 pence. That's correct, thank you. Fire away. Drop the man in the water.
Where's Alfie, Jimmy?
He's the man you drop in the water. Hey, Alfie, everything all right?
No, it isn't. It's running water, look cold.
Don't worry. You hit the bullseye, remember? It doesn't work.
Those involved with the Clitheroe Kid this week were Peter Sinclair as Grandfather, Patricia Burke as Mother, Danny Ross as Alfie Hall, Diana Dare as Susan, Brian Truman as Mr. Whittle, and Colin Edwin as Humphrey Brocklebank. The program was written by James Casey and Frank Roscoe, produced by James Casey, and starred Jimmy Clitheroe as the Kid himself.
A smashing day, and they all came back to our house for supper. Even Alfie was all right, until me mum said he might have caught a chill and told him to get in a hot bath. They wanted to give me £1 from their wages, but I thought I ought to say I didn't want it. But I thought they might believe me, so I took it. Now,